Well, after great success in radio, Tony Martin returns to TV with a show about TV. It's produced by Andrew Denton. It's had its first outing last week. The second one is on tonight. It's called The Joy of Sets. And Tony Martin joins us from our studios in Melbourne. Good afternoon.
Nice to be on the show, Rich. And understand that all those car accidents you were talking about were caused by people pulling over to try and remove their rego sticker.
That's right. We don't need them anymore. The Business Council says we don't.
I'm glad you're onto that.
Let's take direct action straight away and reef them off the cars. Do you remember when you used to have to peel them off slowly with a knife and scrape away?
And wasn't there something you did with some Glad wrap and you put it on overnight or something?
Is that right?
Was that a rego sticker?
I missed out on that. No.
It was some kind of Tonya Todman trick where you would put... I can't remember. I might be thinking
Scrape away with it. No, Renee's nodding there. Her father used to make her do it. It was part of the domestic chores once a year.
You'd have to put a space in your diary to remove the rego sticker.
I will take you out of my will, Renee, unless you do this work for me, this important work. Did he have a problem with the... He didn't like doing it, obviously. Yeah, I don't know why he didn't like doing it. It did take you hours, though, and it used to produce this sort of shredded, desiccated coconut stuff.
It never looked any good.
It never looked any good. Now, I want to know, when did the TV obsession start? How young were you and what were the programs?
I remember the first show I ever saw on television was, I would have been 4 or 5. It was Dastardly and Muttley and their flying machines. And it was absolutely terrifying. Just the concept of cartoons was terrifying to me.
And that was they were associated, weren't they, with Roger Ramjet?
I think you might be wrong there. I think Dastardly and Muttley, that'd be the Hanna-Barbera.
Wrong crew.
Roger Ramjet, that's an entirely different organisation. I think that's the people who did Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I might
be wrong.
No, I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
You'll get angry phone calls.
So this was in New Zealand.
That's right.
That all this was happening.
We got Doctor Who. I remember the thing that scared me the most was the Yetis on Doctor who were just like very overweight teddy bears, but they had a sort of a door that opened in their stomach and a glowing silver ball.
That is not enough to give a 4-year-old nightmares, isn't it?
I couldn't leave. I was under the bed for about a month after I saw that.
Did the parents have rules about television, or it was just a free for all?
I can't remember if there were any specific rules, but I know we were never allowed to watch Benny Hill. Mm-hmm. That was considered Hill's Angels could corrupt us. And then later, Hot Gossip on the Kenny Everett Show were banned in our house for their lascivious gyrations.
Oh, they were good.
They were.
Your sexual development would have been, interfered with by that prohibition.
That's what it was years. I was running years late on the schedule because of not being allowed to watch Hot Gossip.
I didn't sexually mature until 25.
That's right.
Because of it. Now, once the teenage years came, did the diet change?
Because I'm trying to think. New Zealand is much more Anglo than Australia, so we got a lot more. This is the weirdest thing you notice when you move to Australia is how English the ABC is. The ABC is just full of English programs. Like when I was growing up, you'd have The Good Life, and then that'd be followed by The Dukes of Hazzard, and then that'd be followed by A Being Served, and then Magnum would be on, and it was all just mixed up together on the one channel. But that kind of apartheid that you have here with just sort of, it's so odd when you see an American show on the ABC, although I notice ABC 2 are running great American shows like Breaking Bad and Party Down now.
I'm still back in your sexual development because I've got Felicity Kendall and the girl from the Dukes of Hazzard competing in your adolescent mind. That's some battle.
Oh, yeah, Daisy Duke.
Daisy Duke, that's right.
Very erotic. Catherine Bach, I think, the actress.
So how does one human being contemplate Felicity Kendall versus Daisy Duke?
I don't remember thinking of Felicity Kendall as a sex object until she became one on The Young Ones.
Oh, you're joking.
Vivian was obsessed with
her. Tony Martin, I have to disagree with you about that. Felicity Kendall in The Good Life, that is the dream. That is it.
And what's her name? The other one, was she attracted? Margot Ledbetter, were you attracted to her as well? What was her name again?
The neighbour.
She used to be on every show on the ABC. Penelope Keith, someone's shouting at me.
That's right. Well, it depends on whether you like that aristocratic sort of thing, doesn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't.
How did we get here? How did we get to...
Well, yes, let's dig ourselves out of this hole.
Now, crevice.
Crevice. Now, first week, The Joy of Sets, opening credits were featured. And I think what's remarkable about the show is you find... some of it is about programs we've all seen, but some of it is about programs you don't imagine would ever exist. For instance, The Hitler's Next Door.
That's right. That was a remarkable moment, I thought, watching that, because it was called Heil Honey, I'm Home. It was a sitcom. And if you haven't seen the show, we do a segment called Not On My Network, where we read out the synopses of three shows, one of which is real. And Peter Phelps, our guest, was reading out the premise for Heil Honey, I'm Home, a sitcom about the Hitlers. And you could actually hear the audience booing.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? There was booing. Yeah.
But I think they were saying the writers could do better than produce something so unlikely.
Yeah, and then when it was revealed that that actually was the real show, there was a gasp from the audience. But I think that show ran, it was eight episodes were made, but only one was screened.
That gasp was, is it still available on Amazon, you know?
Well, that sort of also rang a bit of terror into me and Ed, because we're making eight episodes. I'm going overdoing. There's some irony ready to happen, but yes. We have made it to episode two, so we're officially a heritage program on the Nine Network.
Yeah, on the Nine, yeah, I was going to say, exactly. Now, home cooking is the subject tonight.
Yeah, well, it's cooking programs in general, and first we begin by trying to deconstruct MasterChef, and my theory is that it's all about the music on MasterChef. We tried taking the music out of a lot of the scenes, and it's quite boring. But once you add that really super dramatic, if you just cut to a shot of a skillet and you have, it's amazing how exciting it becomes.
So you think that everyone should have their pay reduced except for the composer?
That's right. Someone in a try it at home. I'm just going to get someone in a synthesizer playing in my kitchen when I try and cook something next.
That's right.
Increase the drama. But then in the second half of the show, we delve back into the history books of cooking shows. And remember Keith Floyd?
Yes, yeah.
Keith Floyd never. I don't think
he of the red nose.
Yeah, continually drunk on his own program, but very entertaining. And Julia Child, there's some remarkable footage of Julia Child showing you how to kill a lobster, which is, you know, Julia from that, there was that movie.
Yeah.
I claim that she was only doing that voice so that Meryl Streep would have to copy it in the movie. But we've got footage of her going, you put them in head first and that kills the brain. And then I notice she's putting a brick on top of the lid. You're going, well, hang on, if they're killed instantly, why are you having to lock them in there? It's quite disturbing. Discovered that Julia Child was a spy during World War II, so I'm assuming that's how she used to deal with the Nazis.
That's right. She got the full Houdini act on the lobster. Paula's Home Cooking is featured.
Yeah. Now, have you seen that?
No.
It's on the pay TV. This is a woman who... just watching the show, you can feel your cholesterol reading going up. She creates something called a lasagna sandwich, which is even worse than it sounds.
A lasagna sandwich. Very nice,
yeah, there's one episode where she shows you how to make a hamburger using donuts, like instead of using hamburger buns, just use a couple of Krispy Kremes on either side.
Very good. So each week it takes that sort of format, does it? You specialise on one part of television.
Yeah, we're trying to show you how to put together your own hit TV format and the essential elements that you need. So, of course, we're going to do renovating in a couple of weeks. The one we shot last week was a lot of fun. We decided to show you what you don't need and do an entire episode about things going wrong. And so it was fun to have literally everything go wrong on the show itself. And Pete Smith, from the longest-serving employee of the Nine Network, flew in to help us with that.
So I don't quite understand. Things going wrong on regular TV shows?
Yeah, on TV, not just bloopers. I don't mean bloopers. I mean everything that can go wrong with a TV show. I was keen to get into the vaults and find... You remember when in the 80s, Geraldo opened Al Capone's safe?
No, I don't recall that, Tony.
It was a mess. It was like the biggest TV event of the 1980s. Geraldo Riviere discovered what he claimed was Al Capone's safe in the basement of a hotel. And on live TV, it was like weeks of build-up. They decided to open the safe. And, of course, there was nothing in there. Nothing in there at all. What would have been in there? That's the thing.
That's a good story about him. It meant he didn't cheat. He didn't have a look beforehand.
No.
Yeah, stupidly.
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but we try and suggest what the only thing that could have been in there that people would have been happy with. But I've got to leave some surprises.
Now, you mentioned going through the vault at Channel 9. You've got your own vault at home, though, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff still on VHS now, because it takes so long to you have to transfer them in real time, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even if you've got one of those machines. So I'm sure a lot of people listening would have still shelves full of VHSs with just things written in biro on the spine. What I seem to have, and I didn't realise I had them till earlier this year, is just boxes and boxes of Potluck with Bernard King from the 1980s.
Oh, they're valuable. Don't throw those out.
But the thing is, they are, because I think we tried to find some of that stuff and most of the master tapes have been erased. So this is a show that really only exists in people's beach houses on their VHSs. It's some brilliant footage.
I love the way when you watch a VHS, and especially with a movie, and you sort of end up getting lost in the movie, and then when the news comes on, you go, oh! Because, you know, there's an earthquake in Japan. You think, poor people, only, you know, oh. And you absolutely get lost in the fact that this is actually the news from 15 years ago.
Oh, it's great. I love, because I was watching a show I love from the 1980s called It's Gary Shandling Show. I had a whole lot of them on VHS and I was watching them. And of course, you forget that over the end credits, you get the aforementioned Pete Smith coming on going, "Stick around for Spencer for Hire." And you're just hearing names of shows you haven't heard for 20 or 30 years.
Do you think there's a golden period of television? Is it now? Is it in the 50s? Is it in the 80s?
Well, the 50s was a golden period of television in the States, certainly. But I reckon we're living through a golden period of TV, don't you reckon? I mean, when I was a kid, you know, drama on primetime was, on American television, was The Dukes of Hazzard. And now that looks like a children's program. We have things like Breaking Bad and The Sopranos and The Wire. And I reckon it is a golden period we're living through.
And Mad Men. And it is interesting that at the moment, the cinema seems to be duller than it's ever been. And yet television is more interesting than it's ever been. You go back 20 years ago and I think actors and writers and directors would say, oh, my career's not going very well, I'll work in television. Now it's almost the opposite, isn't it? It's the place where all the interesting work's happening.
Absolutely. I see Dustin Hoffman's just doing his first ever TV series for HBO. It's a racetrack drama written by David Milch, who did Deadwood. So, you know, that's probably better writing than he would find in any film script now.
The Joy of Sets is on Channel 9 tonight with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli. Now, you've got your own collection of VHSs you've been discussing, but Ed's great contribution is, I understand, an encyclopedic knowledge of the channel called Lifestyle U.
Well, that's right. Well, Ed is 15 years younger than me, so while I have the 80s covered and the 90s, he's the person who's watched every reality show that's been made in the last 10 years, and that's why he keeps showing clips on our program of something called My Monkey Baby, which I wouldn't have thought there would have been a series in people bringing up a monkey as a human child, but apparently over 1,000 families in the United States do this.
And it's pretty compelling footage. There was someone on the first edition of your show.
That's right. You think of the maddest idea you can for a TV show, you'll discover that somebody's done it. There's a show on MTV called I Want a Famous Face, where people go and have plastic surgery to try and resemble their favourite celebrity. Mm-hmm. And it just never works.
I think it works fine, because you're actually Ed Cavalli, and Ed Cavalli's actually you. Tonight.
that would require extreme face-off style surgery, but I saw one episode of that show recently where a bloke went in to look like Elvis and it just looked like a really poor man's Tony Danza. Wasn't Elvis at all.
We'll enjoy it tonight. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Richard.
There's Tony Martin. The Joy of Sets with Ed Cavalli and Tony Martin's on Channel 9 tonight, as produced by Andrew Denton.